We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hey, baseball fans, the game is over.
Welcome to the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show.
After the last pitch, you've made the switch for 17 years. It's time to talk about the game and the team with Tim Allen.
Tim Allen's here. What do you got, Tim?
We'll hear the highlights.
And that one's hit high and deep to right. Suzuki back. Grown man home run by Rowdy Tellez. Have the lead.
We'll hear from the manager and the players. We'll discuss the topics from the fans to the front office.
I like Tim's perspective.
History is made each and every year, and we're talking about it. 17 years of coverage after each game. Here's your host, Tim Allen.
It is a final. The game, the series, and the homestand, and the results across the board are good. Welcome in, everybody. It is the Gene Wagner Plumbing Postgame Show. Tim Allen, there's Evan Heffelfinger right here in the Lakeland University Studios, the leader in online education. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu, and a 10-3 runaway victory for the Crew. I mean, it didn't start well, but then it got good. And highlights aplenty later on in the show. Want to get your reaction after this one, because this is a big one. They take the series against the Toronto Blue Jays, a pretty good baseball team. They take the homestand 4-3. And those of you that we did predict a homestand on the show last Sunday, how do you think the Brewers will do? 4-3, 3-3. And a lot of you are at that 3-4-4-3 mark. Some of you had the 5-2 going. I mean, maybe there was one that said 6-1, and you know, that might have been, you know, a prediction more suited for me as the ultimate optimist. But this is a successful homestand. And I'll go you one further. Not only pretty stiff competition, Cardinals and Blue Jays, but let's throw in a series ago before the homestand against the New York Mets. If you throw in Mets, Cardinals, and Blue Jays, you see where I'm going here? Good competition. And that's something that has been with me since we started hearing that early in the season here. Well, you can only beat up on the Reds and the Pirates. Well, okay, let's wait until they play some stiffer competition. We can start doing some metrics on it. Mets, Cardinals, and Blue Jays, and the Brewers are 5-5. Now, normally you would say, well, it's a 500 team. That's not a very good team. Considering these injuries and you're going 5-5 against the Mets, Cardinals, and Blue Jays, I would say that that's a successful run in those particular 10 games. And that's recent history. That's not 6 or 8 weeks ago. That's just in the past, well, obviously these two series in the past week, and then, you know, maybe a week or so after before that. You've got recent history of playing good against good teams, or at least winning baseball against those three good teams. And that is something that I think is up to a perspective. And so on a game like today, you run away for the victory 10-3, and everybody pitches in. And is it a moment to celebrate a little bit? It is. How many times? See, it's easy to get on Craig Counsell because he made a wrong bullpen move. It's easy, really easy, to get on the base running mistakes. And there was another one today, by the way. But that's the easy part. I think maybe more so the challenge would be, how high do you get after a win like this, after a series like this? Or do you just like to stay even-keeled? Ah, don't get too high, don't get too low. Do a Christian Yelich. Are you like Christian Yelich where, whatever, that's baseball, it just happens. I'm a Brewers fan, but, okay, we'll just move on. Yeah, this was a good win. Nothing to see here. Let's move on. Off day tomorrow. Let's get to Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh. A shorter road trip than we're accustomed to, but, okay, it's June, whatever. Do you act like that? I can't. It's not in me to do that. This is a nice run for the Brewers, but it has to be held in the context, though, and that is with the injuries and with the underachieving offense. You are still a very good baseball team, and you will get better as the season goes on because you're going to get healthier, and then these players are going to start picking up the slack a little bit. Big day today for Rowdy Tellez, big day for Willy Adames, big day for the Brewers offense. That's something to celebrate today. It is. And we're talking about it here on The Fan, as always. 414-799-1250. Do you land in the middle there? You don't get too high, too low? I can't do it. It's not in me. Some Brewers fans can. And we've talked with hundreds, if not more. Maybe into the thousands over the course of 17 years that are really kind of streamlined in the middle. It's okay. That if that's the way you follow baseball, that's all right. I'm not going to tell you, you know, that you should be dancing around naked today, although it'd be a good day for that today. But then again, maybe I take the losses a little bit too hard, so it can go the opposite way too, and maybe you guys think that I'm a little out of line for celebrating a victory like this or going off on a tough call or a tough game or a tough stretch, whatever it might be. 414-799-1250. Brewers did make a roster move, unfortunately. Injuries continue. Hunter Renfro back onto the IR, left calf. Pablo Reyes recalled. There were some activations yesterday, and you saw two of them today. That was Trevor Gott and Jandel Gustave. It was a good spot for Gott there in his one inning of work. And you're wondering, well, why are you using one of your main guys on a blowout game? Well, he's just coming off the IR, and then, you know, you've got the off day tomorrow, and so he's ready to go on Tuesday. This game here was a race to the middle innings. And Chichi Gonzalez, as we discussed yesterday, four and a third, three-run ball, I would take that, end quote, is what I said yesterday. And that's what he did. Four innings of three-run ball. 799-1250. And we'll get to you guys in just a second here. I know that bar is a little low, so you have to put that into perspective also, that this is Chichi Gonzalez. This isn't Aaron Ashby. This isn't Brandon Woodruff. This isn't obviously Burns. It's you still have to understand who that player is when you set your expectations. But I was cool with it because it did keep the Brewers in it. Now, he did settle in, you know, after the first inning. Wouldn't you know it? I mean, again, these first inning guys. And there again, someone may say, you got to let that go, Tim. First inning, the other Brewers get their half of the first inning too, and they need to do some damage. I agree with you. And maybe I take that a little bit too hard. That's just the way I've always been with Brewers baseball. You know, late 70s, shooting hoops outside, Pop working on his motorcycle or his cars. And I'm just shooting hoops, and we got Uke on. And I'm not kidding you. I act the same way to this very minute in time when it comes to Brewers baseball. I have not changed. Not at all. It's fist pumping on the good times, and it is kicking things on the bad times. This is one of the good times here. They just completed a series split four against the Cardinals and taking the series against the Blue Jays. That is cool. I mean, that's what this team does. You know, I'm not gonna sit here and say, well, they battle and they need a gold star for that. But don't you have to, though, when you're in dire straits when it comes to injuries? And no knock on the depth of this team, but let's face it. Jonathan Davis and Pablo Reyes and Jace Peterson's and Brazos. How are you going to win with those consistently? They're finding a way, though. And that's the thing. Someone has to be given credit for that. Let's see here. Well, let's get to calls before we open up another can of worms here. So there's always things to talk about in Brewerland. 799-1250. But the main thing is a celebratory victory today. How big of an emotion do you put into Brewers baseball? I asked the question 6 weeks ago, how angry do you get? I remember talking about that. Well, now it's not necessarily how happy you get, but how streamlined in the middle are you when it comes to Brewers baseball? Is that beyond your control? Because it's beyond mine. Maybe I should see someone for that. I don't know. Let's go to Brett. Brett, you're first up on the fan. What's going on, Brett? Now, do you get really high and really low when it comes to Brewers baseball?
Hey, Tim. Yeah, definitely. I think I'm similar to you. I'm living and dying on every pitch. As the years go on, I'm starting to not get as upset with every loss. But I mean, I'm with you. You know, every game matters. But they are going to lose games throughout the season, obviously. So it's important to not think the world's ended.
Well, and I don't know if you remember this, Brett, and I'm sure you do. During the 8-game losing streak, I recall, and I think you guys do also, that I was surprised at how patient I was through all that. Do you remember that? Pick another year. If it would have happened in another year, and there have been losing streaks that I've been losing my mind. But this year, I don't know what it was. It was a little more patient during that 8-game losing streak.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. An 8-game losing streak, typically I would have been more frustrated too. I don't know what it was this year. I think a lot of it just has to do with how confident I am in this team. And two comments I wanted to make was, one, you know, I called last week and I made a comment about Hunter Strickland last year. You know, his numbers were not good before we got him, and I didn't believe in that pickup. Same thing with Chichi Gonzalez, and I still don't. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a long-term good no. pitcher on this team. But you just have to give the Brewers credit. I mean, two starts now, he's kept them in the games. And I don't know if it's just what they're looking for or how they use them once they get here. I mean, they know what they're doing on the pitching side of the baseball, for sure.
Absolutely they do. And I think other organizations are well aware of that. They really are. Okay, so you get high and you get low.
Yeah, but one more thing, man. The offense, I've agreed with you all year on your takes on the offense. This is not a bad offensive team. They're not playing well lately, but it's starting to turn, and guys are going to play better. And this is just a great series win against the Blue Jays. I mean, that's a good baseball team. You face two of their best pitchers. I know Berrios' numbers don't look good, but he's got great stuff. And you still have, you know, Urias isn't playing well. You still got guys hurt. You're missing Woody and Freddie. The sky's the limit for this team. I have not backed down on that.
So. Yeah, Brett, thanks for the call. This is a journey. This is a journey as we move along here. Here we are. We're just a few days away from 3 months in the 22 championship season. Here's a random
Don't say that, please. Please don't.
I know that. No doubt. Evan, welcome aboard. Dude, I know that, and it's starting to fly by here. It is. So, Evan, you're a little more streamlined than I am emotionally.
I think it's just because I don't want to have my days ruined by a bad game. Because I just, you know, I don't want it to affect the people around me in that way. And that, don't get me wrong, losses hurt. And especially horrible losses, like the one to the Phillies where Josh Hader gives up back-to-back home runs for the first runs of the season for him. Yeah. That was a game that you had under control. There was a game in that Mets series that you should have won that you had under control, that you just didn't play the way that you should. And those hurt. And, it's hard for it not to affect you even a little bit, even if you're a casual fan. But at the end of the day, you also can't be too high on a win unless it's a win like today. Today is such a great win, and I'm through the moon right now just watching this team right now. But you also have to realize that, yeah, the regular season is a part of it. I kind of want to see them win a playoff game right now. So I guess I'm excited. I'm enjoying the ride. This team is a lot of fun to watch. There's a lot of great characters, and I'm going to be a little bit happy when they win and a little bit sad when they lose, but I want to see some playoffs.
Yeah, I'm gonna be chewing my fingernail. I only chew one fingernail now. It was a long time nail biter, many, many years.
Okay.
So I invested one for the for the good of nine others. That's what, I'm not kidding you. So there's going to be nail biters here. There's going to be jubilation on certain wins. That's just the way I look at it. Here's a random disconnected thought. So I don't forget to get to this. We talked yesterday about how the attack mode, the ambush in baseball, does tend to work more times than not for other teams, not the Brewers. Yesterday, an example, clearly the Blue Jays decided in the fifth inning to attack Corbin Burnes, and it worked. The first five hitters, and only five hitters in that inning, all swung at the first pitch of the sequence. Five in a row. One went deeper. The other four were all in play. One went deeper count. The other four hitters all in play. Five straight swinging at the first pitch. Why don't the Brewers ever do that? Let me give you an example of, well, they did today. There was an aggressive nature. I think you've seen the difference here. It was very festive. I want to find out from you guys at American Family Field because it sounded, now again, it's a 10-run output. So you're going to have a little more excitement factor and energy in the building. But nonetheless, I want to hear from those of you that were at the park if it seemed like it was a party going on in there. Okay, so the second inning, the Brewers, first inning, obviously, Gonzalez gives up three. The Brewers answer back with three in their half. And then Gonzalez has the shutdown frame right there, top two. I thought that was one of the tipping points in this game. We'll get to the second inning here. Let's see. Here's what happened there. Tyrone Taylor, second pitch double. Jace Peterson, first pitch bunt single. Davis, three pitch single. Yelich, we'll take some time out. Five pitches, but got the job done. Adamas, first pitch RBI, base hit. Rowdy, second pitch homer. McCutchen, second pitch grounder. Of the first six hitters in the second inning, here's how this shook out. I'm just trying to nutshell it. Two batters swung at the first pitch, two of them on two pitches, one on three, and Yelich on five. That's the attack. Throw in a couple of stolen bases on the first pitch of each of those sequences. Throw in a potential sacrifice bunt right there. And that turned into a base hit. First pitch, got it down. Perfect bunt, Jace Peterson. That in turn, I don't believe was Jace. I may be wrong. I think that was in an effort to get the lead with a full rested bullpen. You needed the lead here. We talked about that yesterday. You needed the lead here early. They were playing for a run early in this game. And what happens? It pays off. But the main thing is, my point here is the attack mode. That the Brewers offense finally showed you guys that it's in them. I think there needs to be more of that. Talk to pitchers. The most important pitch is strike one. First pitch of the sequence, strike one. All right, 799-1250. Brewer Mike, I know emotionally I've talked with you for well over a decade. I know you're into the highs and lows, so we're getting high and we're getting low here on the postgame show.
Well, I'm going to go low first. When is Kelly going to get released?
Hold on, just there'll be some.
He
moves.
Had a clean inning today.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, please. He's shown some scoreless appearances.
He's a joke. Every time he comes in, it's either going to be PlayStation or he's just going to close his eyes and get three.
Evan, grab his numbers compared to Brent Suter.
Oh boy!
Now that'd be a good comparison. Okay, just so you know, we can go name wreck with Brent Suter or Trevor Kelly that you said is just no good.
Tim, you're going to get me. I know you are.
No, I'm just
no, you're
going
to get me, buddy, because you're like the Lauren Brown of stats, or like the Les Grafstein, because you know everything, brother. And
No, not everything.
Well, mostly everything. The highs are. I'm high right now. Yelich is starting to come around, I think, you know, and the naysayers are, you know, they paid him too much and, you know, he shouldn't sign an extension. Yeah, I think Yelich is finally coming out of his shell. And I also like this Jason Alexander. I like this kid. You know, he's 29. He's not really a kid, but I like him. And this Chichi Rodriguez or Chichi Gonzalez or whatever, why? Honest to God, tell me why. I don't know.
So the buddy system with Trevor Kelly back to Nashville, or I don't know what they're going to do with Chichi. It's interesting because an easy fix is Woody activated, Chichi comes out of the rotation. Well, then what? Well, then what do you do with him? You go with the bullpen? I don't know. And then there's Aaron Ashby. So when he comes back, then what do you do? Jason Alexander, does he stay in? Six man, five man? It's going to be interesting in the rotation.
Tim, I'm on 51st and Layton, okay? I'd be happy real quick to go to Miller Park or Fiserv or whatever, American Family Field. I will personally take Kelly and Rodriguez or Gonzalez to the airport because it's only about 2 miles from here, okay? I will personally put them on the plane and say bye.
All right, go umpire your softball game and do not throw anyone out of the game today.
No, not what I'm looking at today.
Okay, see you later, Mike.
Stay hot.
Yep. I've been talking to Mike here for like I said, well over a decade, and he does take the losses pretty difficult, and the jubilation is there. But how high do you guys get? There's a drop. You can just splice that audio out of there.
Thank you very much.
How high do you guys get when it comes to the good times, and then how low do you get when it comes to the bad times? Because I think I would skew toward, you know, more response on the positive. I think that's fair to say, although I'm pretty difficult on some low points too, emotionally. I don't think it's an even split for me. I would say it skews toward the positive because I know there's going to be 7-3 losses. It's just going to be 7-3 losses, and that's your standard 7-2 baseball season marathon, 162 loss. All the teams go through it. Every team's going to have those losses. There's going to be 50 plus of these things. So some of those I digest well and process well, but there's others, as you guys know. Evan, where do you want to go here? 414-799-1250.
Let's go to Ethan in Franklin.
Ethan, what do you say? Ethan, you okay, buddy?
Hey, Ethan?
Yes, you're Ethan.
I'm Jason.
Jason. Gotcha.
That's it. I'm going home. See you
Written
later.
Down the wrong way. There you go, Evan. Way to go. All right, Jason, what's going on?
All right. The main thing I do, first off, I want to say, you know, when we have all these injuries and stuff and we can still stay afloat, ask Craig Counsell. I mean, having him as a manager, there's not too many times we can reiterate how great of a manager he is. But so just dropping that there. But how much I like the Brewers and follow them highs and lows. It used to be an every day game back in the day, but now I'm an every series guy. So, you know, if they lose one, even if it's the first one, I'm like, all right, we got to win the next two. So if we win 2 out of 3, I'm doing awesome. If we win 1 out of 3, not good. Swept one way or the other, really.
Well, then let me ask you this. Okay, that's fair enough, and I think that's an interesting point. That's a pretty clever way to look at it. So they lose game one of any particular series, pick one. They lose game one, and then they lose on just a heartbreaker in game two. Now, according to your theory, your concept is that you go series by series. Well, they just lost a heartbreaker to even up the series, and then do you take that one pretty tough?
Well, I'm riding high on game one that they won. Game two, they lost on the heartbreaker. I'm like, oh, we could have had it. Let's hopefully get it tomorrow. And then if we lose tomorrow, it's going to be accentuated because I'll be able to look back at the day before and say, these two we should have got. We only got one.
Okay. Now let's go lose game one. You lose game one, and then you lose game two on a heartbreaker.
Now I'm just riding. I'm like, oh, salvage something, please, on game three. I'm still not feeling good at all. But if they salvage, I'm a little okay. But if they get swept, then it's just pits. So that 8-game series didn't do me, or 8-game losing streak didn't do me very good.
No, and you know what? Since since they were at their high watermark on May 30th, 14 games over .500, they now are 10-15 in the ensuing 15 games. Okay, so they're minus five in that run. But that is, again, it's, you have to keep it into context here. I'm not making excuses for a 10-15 mark. I'm not. But I will point to underachieving offense and a bunch of injuries. I will point to that.
The other thing is when it is. When I get to September, I'm going to write a lot more on game over game than series over series once you get there. Unless we have a 10-game lead or something ridiculous if the Cardinals fall on their face. But can't hope that happens.
Yeah, all right. All right, Jason, thanks a lot. Jason, Ethan, there you go. Thanks for the call. 799-1250. J-Mo, you're next on the Fan. What's going on, J-Mo?
Timmy Baseball, how you doing?
What's up?
You're not going to outlive Earl Weaver, man. And that's a cat that would smoke an entire pack of Old Golds between the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning.
At least mine are filtered. Come on.
Okay. Touche.
Well, most times.
You gotta just enjoy the rich tapestry that's going to be a 95-win 2022 championship season.
No, I get that, and some people do look at it that way, and some people were like with the Milwaukee Bucks a couple of years ago now, they were just like, yeah, let's just jockey for position, let's get on a roll, get good rest, and just let's wait till the playoffs and then put the hammer down. I can't do that just because I'm so entertained by this baseball team and certainly that basketball team at that time. I was riding every game, and I was not happy when – you know, it was a rest day for Giannis. It was a rest day for Holiday. I didn't like that either at that time. I just love the everyday grind. But I get it when people say, you know what, J-Mo, let me go you one further. If you're at a point where Brewer fans are waiting for the playoffs to really get into it, that's a pretty good organizational turnaround, don't you think?
It's the golden age of Brewers baseball. We've had more success under the reign of Adnacio than the 40 years of Felix. So, yeah, it is. It's a great thing. But today, you know, let's enjoy a victory beer and some meatloaf.
Two out of three.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually pretty good. That's a good baseball team. Here's a low during a high game. Here's a low. Can we stop? Here's what I'm not going to miss with the Toronto Blue Jays series. Both, and I'm not slamming these guys. Don't get me. I'm just pointing this out because I promise to talk about everything Brewers. Anderson, Schroeder, Euchre, Levering were the main guys here. I don't pay attention to the post game show. I'm a little busy when the game ends. I can't watch Bally Sports Wisconsin and hear what they're saying. I'm a little tired of this dripping love for that catcher in a Blue Jays uniform. Okay, I get it. Dude's good. Fine. Teach me about him on Friday in game one. I don't need to hear it for 12 at-bats throughout the series, guys. As a Brewer fan, as he punishes us, I don't want to hear how good that dude is, and it was just too over the top. Sorry, guys. I know there's things that bug you guys that I say, but that bugged me all weekend long. It just did.
You went from Earl Weaver to Billy Martin there.
With a touch of Lou Piniella.
Lou Piniella. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Good to talk to you, Timmy Baseball. Enjoy your meatloaf.
Thanks a lot. 799-1250. I don't know why there's just certain things, and I know it happens to you guys. I know I do things that rub listeners the wrong way. I'm well aware of that. So I'm just like you, that broadcasters, it's just certain things that just get me. I totally get, you know, pointing out and analyzing and breaking down a player. But to hear it 3 or 4 times a game when Alejandro Kirk steps up, you'd have thought it was Molina, Pudge, Johnny Bench, all rolled into one.
To be fair, though, Tim, he may be the new age version. We haven't seen a catching prospect like him in a long time.
See, now you're falling victim.
I know.
I heard enough
of
that. I heard enough of that. I get that. Then talk about it on Friday when you first introduce your audience to him. That would be my contention. I'm good with that because I learned things too, you know, from the opposition. But my goodness, it's just something that it just bugged me. And let alone the fact that he killed us throughout the series too. That probably,
I think that's exactly why you're upset about it.
That's something to do with it. Let's go to Todd. Todd, you're next here on The Fan. What's up, Todd?
Howdy, boys. As far as the catcher goes, Kirk, you know, unfortunately, sports broadcasters and political guys, they're a bunch of parrots. So they'll hear one thing, and then that's all they talk about, because he's the you know, the fresh new thing and whatever else. And I'm with you. It's like either come up with something original or just enough of it. You know, it just gets ridiculous.
So how high do you get and how low do you get?
Oh, this one is by far the highest I've been all season with this game. I was watching the game and going, finally. I mean, honest to God, I'm making meatballs and stuff, you know, but I'm the fan and I'm watching the game and I'm going, who is this team? They wrapped up everything except for the old, you know, scrap heap Rodriguez. It was awesome. It was great. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the ambush stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you have to be a good team to ambush anybody. So I think that term is thrown around so loosely, like it just comes out of the blue. Oh, we can, you know, ambush them. No, you have to be a good team. And today really proved how good they are and how good they can be.
Everybody in the starting lineup had a hit today. Every 1 through 9 had a hit, at least one hit today.
Yes, and it was just if today was a prototype of how good that team could be and the future of it, man, I mean, I'm all in no matter what, but I thought this was their absolute best game except for that that first inning pitching, by far, bar none. They looked absolutely fantastic.
They did. They kept the line moving. They were aggressive. They were stealing bases. Todd, thanks for the call. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy those meatballs. 799-1250. Get to Craig Council. Get one or two more in here. Nate, you're next on The Fan. You get super high and super low during all this?
I try not to, for the most part. But, you know, sometimes you can't help it. And when the team is going real good, sometimes you can't help but to get overjoyed with joy. And then when the team is going bad, sometimes you can't help but be in the dump and want everybody fired. So I think it was like during the Bucks. Like, it's different for different sports. Like, I can during football, I'm down with every game because it's only 16 of them. Basketball, usually when it gets to the playoffs, I turn up into a different gear and I'm down for every point scored and every minute. And then during baseball, since it's such a long season, I try not to get as angry or upset when we lose, but I also try not to get too excited when we win, because I think it was 2012. They went on like a 12 game winning streak or something, and then the whole month of July and August was just terrible. Like that year, really, I was really like, wow, oh my God, we're so good, we can win the World Series. And then that July and August came around and they fell like underneath 500 and it was just all bad. But Tim, how long have we been asking for the Brewers to be more aggressive?
It's been a long time. You and I have been all over it. And we're not saying every time through. You can't do this every inning because it's detectable by the other guys. You have to be strategic on it. I even heard Bob Uecker say this had to be a plan. This had to be a plan attack or plan strategy to go ahead and utilize a little small ball, some base stealing, two of them in the inning, and just some get up and go and jump on these guys. He even noticed it.
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like the pitcher got three runs right away. So came out comfortable. And the best time to get a guy is when he's comfortable and he hasn't thrown a pitch yet. You can, like, he came out on the mound and it wasn't his best stuff, you know what I mean? So it's like, when you see that, do that right away. And you also got to give credit to the coaching staff, because if it was a plan, they saw something in the yep. film that they'd be watching, and they said, well, you got to get this guy right away before he settles in. So you got to give credit to Craig and his coaching staff for that as well.
And I think part of that wasn't necessarily the opposition pitcher. Part of that was the situation that the bullpen for the Brewers was in. And knowing that if you can get the lead, you have a fresh bullpen, everyone's ready to go, an off day tomorrow, no worries, all hands on deck. Just get the lead through four innings and you have a victory.
Right, and I just feel like the Brewers focus so much on trying to hit the ball hard and trying to hit the ball over the fence. Sometimes just get to make contact and just make them work. Make the fielders work. Make the defense work. The more you do that, the more you get errors or you get balls that have eyes and it's just finding this fine lanes and stuff like that. So I just feel like it was a great team win today. They need to take what they did in here on this game and translate it over into every series from now on.
Tampa Bay's not going to be easy.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, Tampa's not going to be easy. Nate, I admire you for keeping an even keel. I really do, man. Thanks for the call, because I just can't do it. I don't know if it's shaving years off my life. Do you think that, Evan?
Is it that or the cowboy killers?
It might be the cigarettes, yeah.
Or the high lifes.
Could be the booze.
I would say you should say it's the stress. It's the ins and outs of the baseball season.
Yeah, because on certain losses, I'm on the verge of an emotional collapse. I mean, I don't think it's a physical thing, but yeah, you never know what happens. But so can you hurry up and win a World Series would be my message.
Honestly,
here.
We're getting a little impatient.
For not me. I mean, for guys like Bob Uecker. You know, 87. You know what? I just did a little studying, did a deeper dive because we're going to have a Eucharism show at some point this year. Your favorite Eucharisms. I've been saying he's 88. He's only 77.
No.
I don't know where I got 88, but I just kept throwing that number out the last few months. So I apologize. I don't want to cut him short, you know. Waste a year of his life. He doesn't have many left. I mean, let's face it. I hope a lot.
He's 88.
Is he 88?
Yeah. Born January 26, 1934.
So 34.
According to Wikipedia.
Yeah, according to... Hold on here. This is great radio here. How old is Bob Uecker?
Bob Uecker is 87 years old.
Okay, so that's my Siri.
Baseball Reference has him as 88 as well. 88 and 151 days.
So he would have turned 88, the even number, right? If it's 34, mm-hmm. It was an even number. This year is an even number. So January of this year would have been 88.
Yep.
Okay, so never mind. I just wasted 2 minutes of everyone's time right there.
You didn't waste it. That was beautiful radio.
Gene Wagner Plumbing postgame show. Brewers take the win today. We'll get one more in here before the break. Notebook Mike, you're on the fan. What's going on, Mike?
Isn't technology great?
It sure is. It really is.
Ask your phone, what's my ex doing? I hope she's dead.
Jeez. I don't know about that.
That band's playing at Summerfest. I don't get too high because I quit it. But
they're funny.
It's just medium.
Just medium? You stay in the middle, Mike?
Well, there's so many games. Now, a Packer loss or win, there's only 17 games. games. You got more emotional involved.
That's true.
So this is just, I went to the car show. I heard it was 3-0. I said, I got in my car, and I heard they were up 8 runs. I was like, made my day.
Of course. How was the car show?
At a bowling alley in Waukesha.
Okay. Was it nice, fun?
Just about 70 cars.
Oh, well, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah, some really cool stuff.
Did you see any Oldsmobile Cutlasses, my first car?
Oh, yeah, they got them. My buddy and his buddy, they got two. Each one has one.
Yeah.
It's a popular car.
It sure is. That's a cool car. All right.
Everyone gets a Camaro or a GTO.
Yeah. Or the old Nova.
Yeah, Nova.
Charger. Duster. Dart.
All right. Well, let you guys go. I know you got an interview.
No, we have to commercial break here. Mike, always a pleasure. We'll hear you tomorrow with Bart. We'll hear you tomorrow with Bart. Welcome to Auto Shop.
Huh. What can you say?
I don't know. I just want to be nice. That's all. I'm just trying to be nice.
What if we say kick it to break?
Let's do that. Gene Wagner, Plumbing Postgame Show. Do you get too high or too low during this run that the Brewers are on? Any season. Pick a month, pick a stretch, a couple of weeks, whatever it might be. We're all getting high and low on the postseason. I understand. That's the easy question. But, like, here we are late June. You get a big win like this. Yeah, I'm celebrating it. You get the victory to take the series. You take the homestand 4-3. I don't know. What about you guys? 799-1250. We'll be right back here on The Fan.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show. What play got you the most excited from today's game? Did it get you up off the couch? It's time for the Call of the Game, presented by the 5 O'Clock Steakhouse. 5 O'Clock Steakhouse, Wisconsin's number one steakhouse by the Food Network. Visit them and make online reservations at 5oclocksteakhouse.com.
Yeah, welcome back. Gene Wagner, Plumbing Postgame Show. After this and all Brewers games, right here on The Fan. Tim Allen, there's Evan Heffelfinger, and they get it done today, 10-3. They win the game and the series in the homestand. Pretty productive at 4-3, and we're just talking about, let's sit back and talk about your emotions, shall we? You got to be feeling pretty good. Beautiful day today. As Euchre has been telling us for many weeks now, it'll get here. The better weather, it's going to get here. Well, it's here. Evan, if you could, a little bit later on, we're going to check the Summerfest lineup. We went over this yesterday, and there were some bands that I was I just never heard of, I guess.
Stood out to you?
Well, Sam didn't know who Rick Springfield was.
Really?
And I didn't give him too much flack about that because
he was kind of a one-hit wonder, wasn't he?
Well, I would think a little bit more than that, but yeah, known for Jesse's Girl, right. 2 weeks from yesterday, I think I said next weekend. It's following weekend he's at Summerfest, but we'll check the lineup if you happen to be going to both the ball game and Summerfest. That's a double dip today. That's cool. I've done that in years past. And there's some wild stories with regards to Summerfest. Maybe I'll tell you about that sometime. 799-1250. Before we get to our game recap and our calls of the game today with 5 O'Clock Steakhouse, let's get to Ryan in Kenosha. Ryan, you're next. Talking about the emotional roller coaster, are you on it or are you one that just kind of stays in the middle here?
Well, I think you know, Tim. Guys like you and I, it's not much of an act. It's real deal. I wish I could relax. I tell you that much, man. It would be nice to a June Sunday game, yeah, it'd be nice to relax, wouldn't it? But after that first inning bomb, I'm sitting there punching the pillow just like it's game six of the NLCS. So it's not – it's just one of those things. Like, I truly feel like when we get to the World Series and we win it, it's going to make it that much better, you know? And I know you feel the same way.
Were you at the ball game today?
No, I'm actually headed over to Lakeshore right now to catch the Kingfish versus Chinook. So I was going to do double duty, but you obviously know my career. I watch a lot of baseball, so I was like, I'll just watch this one on the couch, and then I'll go to – I'm headed out to Mequon right now to check out the Chinook versus Kingfish. So
this, the general manager of Craig Council's kid. He's
yeah,
been
Brady
doing
might
well.
Be an all-star, too.
Yeah, he's been doing really well. He had a nice night, what, last night or the night before?
Yeah, the night before. He's a good kid. He's quiet, but he's all about baseball, which doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, all right, Ryan. Well, take it easy. All right, so, yeah, you're with me. You're in the same camp. I just can't help it. You try. Thanks for the call. You try, but you can't. You just can't. You can't do it. Some can, and for some regard, I admire that you can stay kind of even keeled. You're still a fan. You're still a big fan. You buy tickets, go to the games. You're buying a new City Connect jersey just because it's different, and you're a big Brewers fan. But then I'm going crazy after a loss or going crazy after a big win, and you're just like, yeah, that's cool. I'm a fan, and that's all part of it. Roger, you're next here on The Fan. What's going on, Roger?
Yeah, you want to know where I'm at emotionally? First off, first thing is I do is I turn to the Camel X, the flagship in St. Louis, to listen to the end of the game, okay? While I'm listening to this post game to get an idea. Pure arrogancy. I'm telling you, Tim, that team, that entire era, the entire organization is founded on arrogance, and that they're the supreme example of what a baseball team has to be. I mean, within the first 3 minutes, they're talking about, oh, that was a strike. The Cubs should be out of this inning. And then they said, well, they just put a Cubs on third base. Oh, they're lucky they didn't send him home because he would have been thrown. That's where my emotional range is today. And I'm banking on that the Brewers and one game up in the division in a short period of time here that this game will end favorable to the Cubs. So, the Cardinals, they simply, as an organization, they're arrogant and they suck. In terms of Alejandro Kirk,
yeah,
the guy has – don't worry about him. Don't worry about him, Tim. He has a body mass index of 37.2. The guy is going to have a cardiac arrest running the third base. 30 is obese. So the kid has age working for him, but everything else, his joints aren't going to hold up. He's lucky if he has a couple more seasons in him.
I'm just glad the Brewers don't have to face him all the time just to hear about him. Just that part of it. And that's that. Maybe I go over the top with this because those things bug me,
I get what you're talking about. I guess that – I wonder, does it concern you? Do you think other stations or broadcasters talk about our players in the same vein?
I don't know.
Do they give as much credit? Because I get a sense maybe, we don't quite as get as much all the way around, as much respect as we deserve all the way around, including our best players.
Yeah, so you might be right. You might be right, but I don't know because I would have to listen to the opposition's broadcast all three games to see if they center on one guy and say, man, this dude is every time up. This dude is that. This dude is the next Hall of Famer. He's just dripping with love and adoration for this guy. I would have to listen to that part of it, and I don't do that. I always listen to the home calls for the most part. I do check in on, you know, like the Reds. You can get their AM station in here and catch a little bit of that. As you said, the St. Louis Cardinals broadcast, occasionally you can get that here. But, yeah. All right, Roger, thanks for the call. I don't I don't know the answer to that question. My guess is they might on – you know, listen to a Reds broadcast in 2018 or 19 talk about Yelich. My guess is they would, because he just smoked the Reds. Bunch of cycles and, you know, that sort of thing. Marshall, you're next, and then we'll get to our game recap here. Marshall, you're on the Fan.
Well, good afternoon, guys. Yeah, speaking of the beautiful weather, I've been working outside today, so I only caught a little bit of the game, but it was gorgeous day to be outside anywhere today. It's wonderful. I think that just before I get going here, what Roger's trying to say, and it's a certain shade of blue and a certain college rivalry I'm close to, we think that they have a superiority complex. I think the Cardinals have a little bit of that too, but... And forgive me if I'm a little in and out of things. The Super Bowl of another love of mine is going on the next 2 weeks, but I will still be into the Brewers here and there, though, guys. But I caught a little bit of the game today. I think the big moments were Tellez. I think that's three words. He's just brought something that's very incredible to this team, and it's just all the time. I hate to put somebody in the category of Prince Fielder, but, man, there are times he just reminds me of him. I mean, it's like when he steps up to that plate, he's just you know it's going to get knocked out of the ballpark. And, you know, so I think that by far was the big moment. As far as the emotions, guys, it depends kind of on the series and the team with me. I mean, this weekend I was very busy and outside, so just to be, you know, I wasn't as dialed in. I thought we were going to get 2 out of 3. I called it, guys. I was optimistic, and they proved us right this weekend. But if it's the Cardinals, et cetera, of course I'm dialed in. And I was pretty unhappy after that Mets loss in Game 3 of that series. That one's still a burr under my saddle. So it kind of depends on the series. But I'm generally with you. You try to be neutral, but those competitive juices get going. There's just sometimes no stopping them.
Yep, no doubt. Marshall, thanks for the call. Marshall was referring to his love affair with tennis. Wimbledon, is that going on here soon?
Sure.
I think it is, but he's so into tennis. Always has been. Been talking to him forever, for sure. All right, let's take a look at our game recap because, you know, you beat the Blue Jays, pretty good baseball team, and you beat them today soundly to not only win the game but to win the series and take a 2 out of 3, which is a big feather. And let's go back to the first inning when this thing started, 1-10. Top of the first, damage done by the Blue Jays as a leadoff base hit. Then a one-out walk to Vlad Jr., and then Kirk, the aforementioned three-run home run. Chichi went on to give another hit in the inning, 3 runs on 3 hits and a walk, and a 3-zip deficit into the bottom of the first inning. Brewers then a big answer in their half of the first inning, leadoff walk by Yelich. One out later, Rowdy Tellez.
So we're going with slider. Tellez, center field. He's watching. This one's flying. And it's gone. Rowdy Tellez gets him on their feet quickly here today. 2-run home run for the former Blue Jay.
Yeah, that had to feel pretty good for Rowdy. Luis Urias then with a base hit. And with 2 outs, that set up Omar Narvaez.
Narvaez, that's in the gap right center field. Going to get down. Urias on the run, and he's going to be waved home. No throw. Urias scores. Narvaez draws a throw and will be tagged out. So the Brewers tie it. Count the run at the plate. A 3-spot for the Blue Jays in the top of the first, and the Brewers answer with 3 of their own in the bottom. All right, reset it all. We go to the second. Oh, we got a wild one today already.
Brian Anderson, all sorts of fired up after that on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Okay, what have we learned? We're going to continue to reinforce what we learned about baseball. Don't make the first or third out at third, first and second at home. Do we need to go back over this?
Now, Tim, I think it was actually a smart base running decision, and hear me out on it. Mm-hmm. I think it was a distraction to make sure that run scored.
That's what a lot of those are. Yeah, so...
I guess in the first inning, you would maybe like to play it safer because you don't need that run, but in a way, I don't mind it.
I would have understood the third out at home plate. You know, you don't make the first or second at home plate, but you take a chance with two outs getting him in there. But again, okay, so be it. 3-3 into that second inning with Omar making that third out at third. Then you're in it. The line there in the bottom of the first, same as the top half. Three runs on three hits and a walk. Back to even, 3-3 into the second. So, Chi-Chi Gonzalez really could use a shutdown inning, and he got it. He did have a one-out walk. That was erased on an inning-ending double play into the bottom of the second. Here's where the fun started for the crew. Aggressive in the bottom half of the second. Lead-off hustle double by Tyrone Taylor, and there was a play on him at second base, but he got in there. Jace Peterson then lays down a bunt, first pitch, goes for a base hit to first and third. That, to me, I thought was sort of a sacrifice. It may not have been. That may have been Jace just, you know, checking out the infield positioning. But I think it was in an effort to say, hey, man, let's get the runner over. Let's get Taylor over to third. Let's get this lead because then I can have a quicker hook on Gonzalez. I got a fresh bullpen and an off day tomorrow. Reinforcements, Gustave and Gott were activated yesterday. That is my thought. I don't know that for sure. Only Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy know that. But Jonathan Davis on the first pitch, a stolen base by Jace, now second and third with nobody out. And Jonathan Davis comes through with this RBI base hit.
Up the middle, going to be a tough play. Espinal going to third, stay on the bag, Jace. He does. Another run is in. It's an infield hit for Jonathan Davis, and the Brewers take the lead 4-3 here in the second inning.
Get that ball into play in those situations. They did a lot of that today. Six hits to that point in a 4-3 lead. That brought up Yelich with runners at the corners and nobody out and one in. Jonathan Davis early in the count steals second base. Again, being aggressive right there. Yelich up, second and third, nobody out. You got to get that ball into play. And with the infield back, small ball, aggressive nature pays off for the crew. How about this time we appreciate a rollover ground out to the right side off the bat of Yelly?
And Yelich pulls one on the ground. That'll get the job done. Another run is in, and the first out at first base. So not only do you plate one, but you advance a runner to third. And Yelich with his 27th RBI of the season.
Hey, one time you really want to concentrate on.
Yeah, and that was... That was a smart move by Yelich to just kind of get it over to the right side. Not only get the run in, but get the runner over to third with just the one out. There's Jonathan Davis at third base. And that paid off because Willy Adames puts another one on the board for the crew.
Instructions for the base runner. I don't know what that means. But he's going to score anyway. The easy way. Davis scores. Adames on the first pitch. Lines one into left field. And the Brewers put another three spot on the board.
6-3 at that point. Eight of the first 11 to come to the plate in this game for the crew have gotten on base, seven via the hit. That's set up Rowdy Tellez. And if you kind of listen, you were hearing a lot of Rowdy chants. But Rowdy with the man aboard in the second, have a day.
Rowdy into right. That ball got some carry. And it's gone. It hit the top of the wall and bounces on out of here. He's done it again. Rowdy Tellez. Two innings, two homers, five RBIs, 8-3 Milwaukee.
Four RBIs, BA.
Yeah, that would be four RBIs, but deuces wild there for Rowdy, at least, in the second inning, two. He had two-run home runs here in the 2022 championship season. I'm just saying. Okay. That was McCutchen and Urias with ground outs will end the inning. Five runs on five hits through the two innings. Brewers, eight runs, eight hits, a walk, two stolen bases. One of the hits, a bunt, and an 8-3 lead into the third inning. And it sort of settled down from right there. Chi-Chi settles in after that. Brewers trying to get the knockout blow in the third inning, all with two outs. Jace Peterson hit by a pitch. Davis then worked a walk, and that chased Berríos. Yelich then works a walk with the two outs for Willie, but he pops it up right there. I really thought something good was going to happen right there. Chi-Chi, another zero put up in that fourth inning. Brewers in order for the first time in the game in the fourth inning. Into the fifth, the Blue Jays go in order in the fifth inning off Jandel Gustave on about five pitches. You saw that the Blue Jays got aggressive right there in the fifth, and it didn't work. Omar with his second hit of the ball game in the bottom half. Gustave into and out of trouble in his second inning of work, that sixth inning. Base hit to lead off, then a base hit. Then he gets a scorcher to Jace for the first out, and he gets out of it. Inning-ending double play. That was a huge moment, another tipping point. Brewers, big business in the sixth. Lead-off infield single by Yelich, followed up by a double by Adames. Second and third, nobody out. That was a good hold by Jason Lane right there. Again, you got to give credit. You know, we get on this guy for, you know, getting some runners thrown out, but he did hold Yelich there. Tellez worked a walk, bases loaded, nobody out. Let's get the ball in play. Andrew McCutchen does just that.
McCutchen, first ball swinging off the glove of Chapman. Going to the bag, nothing there, nothing anywhere. Yelich will score. McCutchen wasting no time. That'll be a base hit and an RBI. And the Brewers lead 9-3.
I think if Chapman's able to pick that cleanly, he's going to be able to turn.
Up six runs at that point. Next hitter, Luis Urias. Hey, dude, get the ball in play. And he does just that.
In the air, left center field. Springer on the run. This will be deep enough to score Adames. Sacrifice fly also tagging. He's been rowdy. Brewers have double digits on the board. Urias with an RBI makes it 10-3.
Yeah, and that was your final right there as Gustave had two scoreless in his appearance today. Trevor Gott in the seventh inning. A good spot for Gott right there coming off the IR. There's your final. You get Brent Suter and Trevor Kelly, scoreless frames, 10-3. 42-33 here in the 22 championship season. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell as he's going to enjoy the evening off tonight and an off day tomorrow. And Tampa Bay, they go on Tuesday. But let's hear from the Brewers manager next here. Gene Wagner Plumbing postgame show on The Fan.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing baseball postgame show. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on 1250 AM The Fan.
They get a big win today, 10-3 the final. We'll get to Counts in just a second here. We're also going to hear from Rowdy Tellez. I did hear the Rowdy chants after that, certainly after that second home run. I mean, that loud and proud, no question about it, 35,000-plus. At American Family Field today. Real quick, I was just informed that, I don't know, maybe I was ignorant to this, but so Summerfest is just Thursday through Saturday nights, right?
At least this year, yeah.
No, I'm just saying, yeah, this year, because they're going, you know, multiple weekends or whatever. But they're not doing a Sunday night or a Sunday lineup at all, so they're not even up and running today?
No.
So this would be next Thursday.
Next coming Thursday, the 30th.
All right, who can we go see on Thursday?
Well, if you want to go to the amphitheater, you have a quadruple header, I guess you could say, headlined by Disturbed, Lamb
heard
of God, Chevelle,
heard of them.
And New Medicine.
Chevelle?
Yes.
Okay, I've heard of two of the four.
Okay, you okay. could see everybody in Wisconsin's favorite for one song, Todd Rundgren.
Yes.
For Banging on the Drum.
Okay.
You could see the Revivalists.
I haven't heard of them.
Anthony Hamilton.
Haven't heard of him.
Michael Ray.
Haven't heard of him.
The Wailers. That was Bob Marley's backing band, wasn't it?
Okay, so then, yeah, Bob Marley and the Wailers. Okay, so they're still up and about and doing their thing?
Summerfest
okay.
has always had a really great reggae presence, and I've okay. always loved going to their tent.
That's cool.
The Indigo Girls could
heard
see
of them.
Them. Sir Mix-a-Lot, if you like big butts.
I like big butts.
He's
yes.
playing at 3:30 on a Thursday.
Okay. All right. 3:30. Okay, yeah. in the afternoon. Nice.
Oh man, then there's a lot of names here that I don't know.
Well, shoot.
The Fix with two X's.
Yeah. Now, see, they're a good band. They got a big album, Reach the Beach, One Thing Leads to Another.
Okay.
That's their song, yeah.
Tommy DiCarlo, singer of Boston. I know who that is.
Okay, gotcha. Yep, Boston.
Mother Folk.
Haven't heard of them.
Mindy Abear.
Haven't heard of her.
Craig,
or the Bear.
Craig Finn and the Uptown Controllers.
Haven't heard of them.
Sunvolt.
I'm sure Sunvolt's good, but I haven't heard of them.
Freddie Jones Band.
I've heard of them. I was spinning the Freddie Jones Band when I worked at the rock station back
okay.
in, you know, early 90s.
Davina mid-90s. And the Vagabonds.
Never heard of them.
Mrs. Fun.
Sounds fun to me, but
sure.
haven't heard of her.
Leroy Airmaster with Junior Brantley.
You know, believe it or not, I've heard of them. Yes.
Okay, interesting. Well, we'll see you there at 1:45 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Blues Disciples.
Haven't heard of them.
I bet they play the blues.
I'm thinking.
T.C. Carson.
No, haven't heard of him.
Looks like there is a BMX stunt team.
That's always cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
The Love Monkeys. I feel like they're a local
oh, yeah.
Cover
yeah.
band, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, and they put on a nice show. They're really long time established. Really, really, really good.
Okay. Eric Barbieri and the Rockin' Krakens.
Haven't heard of them.
Comic Magic Energy, and it's a guy with a deck of cards smiling really creepily into the camera.
Okay.
Ben Mulwana Band.
No.
Cousin Curtis with
no.
two S's. Addie Amoir.
This is all Thursday.
Yeah,
is all,
this is still, we're still going
Thursday.
On Thursday.
We're all Thursday. Biggest music festival, you can tell. Go on.
Nathan Graham.
Uh-uh.
Bandits on the Run.
Nope.
Brady Lee.
Uh-uh.
Olivia Portis.
Negatory.
George Dukas.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Juliana Hatfield.
No.
Nessa Barrett.
Uh-uh.
And Gail.
Gail.
And then I'm not going to run through the...
I would go see The Fix.
Okay.
I would go see The Fix. They were big in the 80s. Not bigger. I mean, not huge, but that's good stuff.
That's a lineup.
It's pretty diverse, and it always has been.
How does that compare
years.
To a Craig Council lineup?
Yeah, all over the road and want to make everyone happy. I like that. Summerfest and Craig Council have a lot in common. Yeah, let's hear from Craig Council. Brewers get the victory today. 10-3 the final.
Yeah, I mean, it's a day where, you know, I think the offense really picked us up and gave us a great cushion. And it was, you know, up and down the lineup. That obviously Rowdy had the big day, but up and down the lineup, a lot of guys did good things. And where they carried us today, and they made the pitchers' jobs, much easier today.
How important is that, you know, that first inning homer just to get you right back in the game?
Yeah, I mean, for Chichi, well, a little, it resembled the St. Louis game actually, where we gave up some runs, and then, you know, we got a run back. I think Willie hit a homer that game, but it just puts you right back in the game. So Rowdy's homer just puts us right back there, and it's a ball game. And then, you know, then Chichi was good. He was good for three innings and got us to a good point with a rested bullpen that we could be a little aggressive with the guys, and they all did a great job. So, but the offense was the story today, and they were awesome.
The homer balls, obviously, it's the most efficient way to score. But is there something particularly satisfying about kind of like a well-executed small ball rally like you guys put together in that second?
Yeah, I mean, Jason's bunt was great. You know, we'd stole some bases, and I think just, you know, I don't know about that. I just think we kind of kept Barrios just on the ropes. You know, we never let him up, and we made it tough. He never, like, felt he got going until we had eight runs on the board, and he got going a little bit in the third inning. But that's what today felt like. You know, we just made it, like, tough on him, and like, it's frustrating in a pitch when you lay a great bunt down, when you steal some bases. It's frustrating.
And that's a guy, Craig, who's given you, you know, he's pitched well against you guys over the years.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's been a good pitcher in this league for a while.
Craig, you got five scoreless innings out of your bullpen again. Just over the last couple of days, you know, your pitching staff against one of the better offenses in baseball.
Yeah, well, it was good to get a couple guys back today and get them out there. And so Gustave and Trevor, who we think can really solidify the middle of the games, kind of demonstrated that today. And that, you know, that's in a game like that where you create a lead, you know, you keep that lead going into the later innings. I think that's what those guys are here to do. And they did a fabulous job of the day. And so glad to have them back.
Do you worry about Colton? Did he clear his
assignment? All reports so far, Colton did had a good day.
So you expect him with you on Tuesday?
Yes. Yes.
How about Ashby, Craig? Did he throw yesterday?
Ashby's going to throw a live BP tomorrow. So he threw today. So, I mean, everything's going good. Live BP tomorrow.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show. It's time to dive inside the box score for today's game on 1250 AM The Fan.
All right, some happy numbers here as the Brewers get the big win today, 10-3 final to take the game in the series, and really with this win, take the homestand at 4-3 against the Cards and Jays. Let's take a look at the numbers. Christian Yelich today goes 1-for-3 with a couple of walks, an RBI, and two runs scored. You know, say what you want about the power and all that. At least he is being productive in getting on base and being involved in a lot of the offense that the Brewers have going. And I would be pretty surprised if he comes out of that leadoff spot anytime soon. I mean, it's just you see the difference of him getting on base, and the trajectory is a little bit better than it was prior to him being moved to the leadoff spot. So we'll see. Willie Adames today, 3-for-5 with an RBI, two runs scored. Rowdy, 2-for-4 with a walk. Four knocked in, and a couple of runs scored. Andrew McCutchen stays hot, 1-for-5 with an RBI. Luis Urias, 1-for-3 with an RBI and a run scored. He had the sack fly. He's starting to slowly heat up the last couple of games. They really need Louis to get the bat going. Omar Narvaez, a multi-hit game, 2-for-4 with an RBI. Tyrone Taylor, 1-for-4, one run scored. Jace Peterson, 1-for-3, a run scored. He was also hit by a pitch. And Jonathan Davis goes 1-for-3 with a walk, an RBI, and a run scored. Everybody in the lineup had at least one hit in today's victory. Pitching lines today, Chichi Gonzalez, 4 innings, 3 runs earned on 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts through 59 pitches. A little over 6 on the ERA for Chichi. Season ERA is 7+. Gustave, 2 innings, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, no strikeouts. Trevor Gott, 1 inning of work, 0s with a couple of strikeouts. Brent Suter, one inning, no runs, no hits, a walk, and no strikeouts. Trevor Kelly, one inning, clean. Brewers, they get 10 runs today on 13 hits, no errors. They also drew four walks and had the hit batsman. So that's a pretty good offensive output right there. Jays, three runs on six hits, no errors. The win goes to Gustave. He is now 1-0. The loss to Barrios, he goes to 5-4. Brewers now 42-33 after the victory. 35,000 plus to witness this here in the 2022 championship season. As we will hear from Rowdy Tellez up next. And those of you that were at American Family Field, I'm starting to hear more and more of the Rowdy chants. It's been a little while for a power surge for Rowdy, but played a big role in today's victory. We'll be right back. Gene Wagner, Plumbing Postgame Show here on The Fan.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show on 1250 AM, The Fan. Time to head into the clubhouse and hear from the pros.
Thanks, Craig. Rowdy, what a day for you. Multi-homer game, two homers against the team that drafted you. You made your debut with. This is a big series for you. How did it feel to have that day?
You know, it felt good. It was, I wouldn't call it bittersweet getting to play against them, but there was definitely extra emotions playing against them. You know, they are the team that drafted me, gave me the chance to play in the big leagues. But, you know, I couldn't be more happy to be here in Milwaukee and be around this fan base and play in front of these people.
Well, these fans, they love you, so you've got to tell us, what does it feel like, that second homer, you're coming around and you've got a stadium full of people chanting your name?
You know, that one was good. I was let out a little emotion, screamed a little bit, but it was great. You know, it was good series win for us, good homestand. You know, it's going to be good going into this road trip, having that kind of momentum.
Rowdy, you guys have done such a great job coming back from games when you fall behind early, and your homer just brought the team right back into it. How have you guys just maintained that attitude of never giving into a game?
You know, it's nine innings. You know, it's a long game, and I think the biggest thing for us is not getting down ourselves early when things don't go our way. But, you know, pitching is huge for us. Cheech threw a good game, and we got in with the bullpen, and the bullpen shut it down too and helped us, you know, keep getting runs on the board. So a lot of it goes to them.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show. Time to turn the page and take a look at the crew's next game.
That is super cool. Keep it up, Brewers fans. The rowdy chants, it does help, guys. You know, in a weird way, I can't quantify that in any way, but it does help. Brewers get the victory 10-3. You just heard all the highlights and Sophia's interview with Rowdy on Bally Sports Wisconsin. The Brewers will enjoy this one, winning the series and taking the homestand against the Cards and Jays 4-3. To run their mark to 42-33, and they will have an off day tomorrow, hit the road, and it's a two-game set against Tampa. Looking forward to this. Tampa, you know, Tampa's been one of the most underrated teams in the last 5 years, for sure, and maybe even beyond that, but we'll see. It's a 6:05 first pitch. After the last pitch, you make the switch right here. Gene Wagner, Plumbing Postgame Show. Evan, let's check the matchups for game one.
Well, we only have the Brewers side of this, and it looks like it'll be the return of Brandon Woodruff, 5-3 with a 4.74 ERA. No idea who's going for the Rays. Maybe it's Brett Phillips. I would pay a lot of money to see that, to be honest.
It won't be Fireisen, I know that, as he's out of the pen. So, and I think Rasmussen, did he go IL? Might have. But we'll talk more about those two guys as members of the Tampa Rays in during the series. Okay, that's going to do it for us. You guys have a great rest of your night here and enjoy the off day tomorrow. More Brewers conversation tomorrow right here on The Fan. Bart Winkler, the Wendy's Big Show, and the afternoon show right here on The Fan. I think I'm going to jump on with Toby and maybe even you too, Evan. I don't know. Who knows? Are you doing the draft mockery with us?
That's a great question. I'll find out if I get a text at about 3:45.
That's right. All right. All right, everyone. For Evan Heffelfinger, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night, and we'll talk to you Tuesday after the game. And smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.